Okay, we're ready to start. One time. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. And today is June 16th, 2014. And we are doing the new course in reading Pali. And we are coming to the end of lesson 5. Okay, so we're continuing, we're picking up from on page 74. This is reading selection number 3. Everybody have it? And this is from the, again, from the questions of King Belinda. So, Raja Aha.
Raja Aha.
So, Raja is the king. And then this is a word, Aha, which means said. Grammatically, I think this word aha belongs to a rather very rare class of verbs in Pali. I think it's called the perfect, the past perfect. And there aren't very, very few words of that type in Pali. But this is one that's very common. Okay, so he says, Bhante Nagasena.
Bhante Nagasena.
Yo jananto papa kamang karoti.
Yo jananto papa kamang karoti.
Yo cha ajananto.
Yo cha ajananto.
Papa kamang karoti.
Papa kamang karoti.
Kasa bahutarang apunyang.
Kasa bahutarang apunyang.
Okay, Bhante Nagasena, that is just the vocative. So he's addressing the monk, Nagasena. Okay, so first comes yo, that is the, what they call this, the pronoun, meaning one who. Then jananto, what part of speech is this? What is this called?
Present participle.
Right, it's present participle. That means knowing, and it goes with yo. So one who is knowing, it's masculine singular, nominative. Then papa kamang means an evil action, evil deed. And what case is it? Carolyn?
Accusative.
Accusative.
Right, it's accusative. Because it's going with the verb karoti, one who does a bad deed, an evil deed. So one who, knowing, in English we might use the adverb, one who knowingly does an evil deed. And then we have yocha, so that's again one who, ajananto. This is what grammatical form?
Present
participle. Again, masculine singular nominative. So one who unknowingly, one who not knowing, papa kamang karoti. Papa kamang, what case, Carolyn?
Accusative.
Okay, and karoti, of course, the verb. One who does a bad deed. Kasa. Kasa here probably dative. Because the genitive and dative sometimes come close together. But I think here it's dative. For whom? And kassa, this is the question, interrogative form. For whom? And this is matched with the yo, yo. Do you know what the children, that little toy that the children play with? The yo-yo? So here we have two relative pronouns, mm-hmm. yo, going with jananto, one who, knowing, does a bad deed, and one who, unknowing, does a bad deed. And those two, one who, are completed by kassa. For which one? For whom? Uppunyang means demerit. What we would say, bad karma. Then bahutarang, do they introduce the comparative form? Or maybe he just lists it. Anyway, bahu means much, and this ending tara makes it comparative. We would say more. So the question is, for whom is there more demerit? Or for whom is the demerit more or greater? So one person commits a bad deed, knowing that it's a bad deed, and another person commits a bad deed, not knowing that it's a bad deed. For example, we might have a child 12 years old, 13 years old, so he sees a frog, and maybe he kills the frog, just out of meanness and spite. But we might have, so he's doing a bad deed knowingly. He knows the frog is a living being. Maybe his parents have told him you shouldn't kill living beings, but he's a mean person, a mean kid, so he kills the frog for fun. But then we have another child, maybe 3 years old. He just sees, a bug walking across the lawn, and he just thinks it's fun to step on the bug. He doesn't really know that he's doing something wrong. So he's asking, the text is asking, who is getting the more demerit? Okay, then we have the answer. Tero aha.
Tero aha.
Yoko Maharaja.
Yoko Maharaja.
Ajananto.
Ajananto.
Papa Kamang Karoti.
Papa Kamang Karoti.
Tasa Bahutarang Apunyang.
Tasa Bahutarang Apunyang.
Okay, so the Tero, that's the elder monk, that's Nagasena. So he says, the Yo, of course, that's again the relative pronoun, one who, then Maharaja just means great king, Da Wang, so great, great king, Ajananto, one who, unknowing, Papa Kamang Karoti, Papa Kamang is what case, Carolyn? By the time I got through with you,
everything's accusative.
Karoti is what case, Carolyn?
Present participle.
Karoti.
Does. Does.
What case?
It's a verb.
Okay. I think that was June Song. It's a verb. It doesn't have a case. Okay, that means does. So one who, without knowing, unknowing, does a bad, evil deed. Tassa bahutarang apunyang. So tassa means for him, for that one. And tassa goes with yo. So one who does a bad deed without knowing, for him, bahutarang apunyang. For him, the demerit or unwholesome karma, bahutarang, is more or greater. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
We have the 12-year-old boy. His parents have told him, you should not injure other living beings. Just like you, they want to live. You should be kind to animals. But spitefully, he kills the frog. And then we have the 3-year-old boy who just sees a grasshopper jumping in the lawn, and he just steps on it. Who do you think will get the more demerit?
The 12-year-old.
It seems so to me.
Mm-hmm. But in this, your example, was the intention there for the 3-year-old to kill?
He has the intention to kill, but he doesn't really know, you know, the significance of it.
It seems like there's an aspect of ignorance that the 3-year-old wouldn't have that the 12-year-old...
I don't know.
Maybe not so ignorant.
Okay. But the way this is stated, I have to say I disagree with it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
It seems to me that if somebody commits evil knowingly, that their unwholesome karma should be heavier than somebody who commits it unknowingly.
Isn't that what they're saying?
No, they're saying the opposite.
But I thought one thing, it's more like having just mindfulness, and when you do the bad karma, sometimes we do it simply, it has overpowered you. You are like doing it. But it's not an example for a little kid.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we could argue this, but I'm just teaching the Pali grammar. Okay, now now the king replies. He says, Tainahi Bhante Nagasena.
Tainahi Bhante Nagasena.
Yo Amhakang Rajaputo va.
Yo Amhakang Rajaputo va.
Raja Mahamato va.
Raja Mahamatova.
Ajananto.
Ajananto.
Papakamang Karoti.
Papakamang Karoti.
Tung Mayang.
Tung Mayang.
Digunang Dandema. Dandema.
Digunang Dandema.
Okay, tainahi, this is a sort of idiomatic expression, which means something like, well then, or in that case. Yeah, the glossary they have, if so, in that case, well then. Okay, Venerable Nagasena. Yo here goes with Rajaputo. Rajaputo means... Literally, it means the son of the king. This one means a prince. It doesn't really have to mean that king's own son, but it would mean like it could be his nephews, great nephews, whatever. Or Raja Mahamato. Mahamato means like a chief minister. So it's like the king's great minister, chief minister. Then ajananto, of course, means unknowingly, papakamang karoti, does a bad deed. So now the king is giving, you might call a counter argument. He's saying, in that case, when a prince or my chief minister unknowingly does a bad deed, then I should punish. Dandeti means to punish, but here dandema, we should punish. Dandema is what form of the verb do we call this? Yeah, it's optative. Or actually, dandeyama. I think this could be taken as the first person plural imperative. Let us punish him. But it has the sense of we should punish him. Then digunang means double or twofold. So he's saying if the prince or a chief minister does some bad deed without knowing, then we should punish him doubly. So the king is saying that your position doesn't make sense, because I guess it's the common practice. The king would punish the prince or a chief minister severely only if they were to do a bad deed knowingly, not if they were to do a bad deed unknowingly.
So, but here, amhakam, is it to like a dative or?
Oh, amhakam is genitive plural. And even though he's referring to himself, but this is like polite talk.
Our prince
or chief minister. Yeah, this is what they call the honorific plural. It's a polite way of speaking. Like if there's one person speaking to the Buddha and then he has to go, then he'll say, he won't say, now I have to go, but he'll say, now we have to go, even though it's just one person there.
Bante?
Yeah.
What's the translation of the previous paragraph? We didn't get it.
Let me first finish. Oh, which paragraph?
The one above.
The one that begins Te Rauaha?
Raja.
Te Rauaha Yoko, yeah. We didn't have translation for that one.
Again, which one?
Okay.
So the elder Nagasena said, one who does an evil deed unknowing, great king, for him the demerit is greater or more. And so then the king replies, he says, in that case, Bhante Nagasena, when our prince or royal minister does a bad deed unknowingly, then we should punish him twofold. So the king is saying that doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry, could you please call Venerable Huba? I think he's online.
Okay.
CHH.
Oh, yeah. I see. I was looking for Hu Bao. Right.
That's his command.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Did he call you?
He just texted me. He texted me asking you to give him a call.
Okay, there he is. Okay.
So, but here it's posed as a question or like a rhetorical question?
I think it's not so much a question, but it's done as a statement of fact, but it's not the way I understand it. The king's intention is, this doesn't make sense. You know, almost like, are we to punish him twofold? But it's not, it doesn't take the interrogative form. But it's like, almost like saying that this doesn't make sense. Okay, let's take an example. Okay, the prince okay, maybe the king leaves some gold coins on his table. Okay, suppose the prince knowingly he picks up the gold coins and thinks the king isn't going to find out that some gold coins are missing. So he's stealing the coins knowingly. But let's suppose, okay, the prince maybe he sees the gold coins on the table and he thinks these are mine. These must be mine, and he puts them into his pocket. So he's not knowingly stealing. So if the one who does a bad deed unknowingly creates more demerit, then when the prince takes the gold coins without intending to steal, thinking that they belong to him, then he should be punished more than when he steals the coins.
So in this way, the Pali Bhante, the way it's constructed, so yo amhaka, yo is he who, our king's son or one of king's ministers unknowingly does a evil action.
Yeah.
Tang, so tang is in accusative?
Tang is the accusative. Tongue is the accusative going with
him.
Yo.
So that means
right.
Him.
Right.
Mayang. We.
Yeah.
Dandema means should.
Yeah.
Punish.
Right.
More or double.
Double. Yeah. Diguna is an ablet, an adverb. Doubly. Ting-da-dong. Okay, let us see what goes on. Okay, now the elder is going to try to counter the king, to argue back with the king by giving an example or a simile. So he says, Tang King Manyasi Maharaja.
Tang King Manyasi Maharaja.
Tatung Ayu Gulang.
Tatung Ayu Gulang.
Aditang,
Aditang,
Sampajalitang,
Sampajalitang,
Eko Ajananto Ganheya,
Eko Ajananto Ganheya,
Eko Jananto Ganheya,
Eko Jananto Ganheya,
Katamo,
Katamo,
Bali Katarang Dai. Heya, daiheya.
Bali kataram daiheya.
Okay, so the monk says, Tang King Manyasi Maharaja, what do you think about this great king? Okay, then we have the subject of what comes next is which word? Have you looked at it?
Subject will be echo.
No, first we have tatang ayogulang aditang sampajalitang.
Ayogulang?
Right, good. So ayogulang means iron ball. And then tatang means heated, you know, it's been made hot. Aditang is like blazing. Sampajalitang, also blazing. Let's see what different words we could think of. Aditang. Oh, okay, they give burning and blazing. Okay, so we have a hot iron ball, burning, blazing. Okay, then, eko ajananto ganheya. So eko means one person. Ganheya might grab it. Ajananto, not knowingly. He just thinks it's a nice ball. Of course, if he has any sense, he'll realize that it's blazing hot. And then another person, jananto ganheya. So one person, not knowing, grabs hold of it. And another person, knowingly, grabs hold of it. Then katamo, which one? Dayeya means gets burnt. And bali katarang, more. So somebody unknowingly grabs hold of an iron ball. One person knowingly grabs hold of the iron ball. Another person unknowingly grabs hold of it. Who will get burnt worse?
The unknowing.
Yeah, if you touch... I think we've all had the experience. You touch a stove that's a hot stove, not aware of it. You put your hand on forcefully. Oh, right? But if you have to touch it for some reason and you're aware that it's hot, you'll be very, very careful. Okay, so yoko bante ajananto ganheya.
Yoko bande ajananto ganheya.
So bali katarang.
So bali katarang.
Daiheya.
Daiheya.
So the king says, O bante, one who grabs it unknowingly. And you notice, you see yo and so. So one who grabs it unknowing. So he, daiheya, would get burnt bali katarang more. And so then Nagasena says, Evameva ko Maharaja.
Evameva ko Maharaja.
Yo ajananto.
Yo ajananto.
Papa kamang karoti.
Papa kamang karoti.
Tasa bahutarang.
Tasa bahutarang.
Apunyang.
Apunyang.
So evameva means in the same way, or just so. Then Maharaja is just the form of address, great king. In the same way, great king, one who without knowing, does a bad deed. For him, the demerit is greater or more. So that is the answer. And then the king says, Kalosi Bhante Nagasena.
Kalosi Bhante Nagasena.
So kalo here means clever, smart. And so he's saying, you, and then the si means you are. It's like, well, we have ati, there is, but asi is you are, and asmi, I am. So you are clever, Bhante Nagasena. Is asi on that table?
Yep. I thought it was, but I have another table that did have it on where I found it. Mm.
It's
lesson three.
Page 33?
Yes. 33. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you look on page 33, you see the first person singular is asmi or amhi. Then the second person is asi, and the third person is ati. And now sometimes these words, asmi or amhi and asi, are used either with an adjective or another or a past participle to give the sense of I am or you are something. In this case, kalosi, you are clever. To panyomhi, I say, I am unwise.
What did you say, Ban?
Dupanyo means unwise.
Well, where did you see that?
No, I'm just making up an example.
Oh.
Balosi. Oh, I don't want to say that to anybody else. You are foolish. Panditosi, you are wise.
That's a great teaching.
What?
Mm-hmm. This is a great teaching.
This one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't agree with it.
Really? I think the more if you don't think about it, it's right on. Really?
Anyway, we don't have to get into a doctrinal debate here. There are some things I have to say in the question, in the Melinda Panha, that strike me as unacceptable.
When was this done, Bhante?
When was it written?
Yeah, Melinda Panha.
It must have been after the time of what Alexander the Great sent troops. He wanted to conquer India, but he couldn't get over the mountains.
So that was before King Ashoka?
I think after.
So 180, I think. First century? First or second century? Ashoka is.
No, I think it would be about the second century. But it would be, I think, after Ashoka.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I don't want to make a pronouncement on that. But because Melinda is supposed to be a representation of the Greek, you see, the Greek settled in what was called Bactria. That's an area that corresponds maybe to now to Afghanistan, parts of Afghanistan. And so this became like a sort of Greek outpost right on the outskirts of the Indian subcontinent. Even actually including what's now, I think, the city where they're supposed to take place. This dialogue is actually now in Pakistan.
Mr. Bhante?
Yeah.
What's the point of his teaching then?
From my point of view, let's see, if one who unknowingly does wrong. I don't know. I have to think about it.
It honestly seems so clear to me.
Is the non-delusion place here or intention, something like that?
Yeah. If you don't train the mind, you're up the creek. Is how I summed it up.
Maybe that's a good point. Maybe that's the way, the intention.
That's how, after I translated, I'm like, that's what that's saying. You're up the creek, buddy. Train your mind.
Oh, maybe the sense, maybe it could be understood that somebody who's completely immersed in ignorance and doesn't have sort of any exposure to the Dhamma, of course, when he does evil, he'll be knowing what he's doing, but he just doesn't have any access to, say, moral teachings. And so he's just completely swept away by his passions. Whereas somebody who has some exposure to either the Buddha Dharma or any kind of ethical teaching, if they do wrong, and they're doing it knowingly, but still there's some voice of conscience deep inside saying that's wrong, and so they'll be hesitant about doing it, maybe that's the point.
Even, I would say, hunting Bhante here in this country. Hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not really brought up in a way to value the animal's life or, you know, as a being, instead of, you know, thinking it was a creation for
just
consumption.
Just some fun, a sport.
Consumption,
yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, then the attitude is very different.
But I would think... Again, I don't want to get into a debate, but I'd say on the one hand we have the hunter who goes hunting for fun, and he's just brought up in a culture where hunting is considered a sport, a manly sport, mm-hmm. And then maybe somebody coming from a Buddhist background, and he's learned, you know, from childhood or adolescence, brought up to have compassion on animals, don't kill other living beings, and then just, you know, he thinks, you know, that's all nonsense. Let me show that I'm a man, and then he gets a gun and goes out and hunting, and he knows that, you know, he has this ethical prescription or precept sort of drummed into his mind. And yet he just violates the precept in order to prove himself or to enjoy the fun. I'd say that the second person creates the heavier karma. Okay, let's go to Pali. Okay, now we come to passage number 4. Okay, I'll read it again, then you follow. Tung King Manyata Bhikkhave. Rupang nichang va,
rupang nichang va,
anichang va,
anichang va.
Okay, so the Buddha is speaking to the monks, and he says, "What do you think, O monks?" And notice here, a verb is not necessary. If we just translate word for word, it's rupang is form. permanent or impermanent. But we understand that the verb is simply is. So what do you think, O monks? Is material form permanent or impermanent? But you don't, as I said, you don't need the verb. The verb would be hoti if you wanted to add the verb. I think it would go rupang nichang va hoti anichang va, if one wanted to put the verb in. Okay, so the Buddha is saying, what do you think, O monks? Is material form permanent or impermanent? And notice again, as I mentioned previously, in Pali, when you have an either or question, we have the word for or occurring with each term. So in English, we say, is material form permanent or impermanent? But in Pali, it's material form permanent or impermanent or. Okay, then the monks say, anicchang bhante.
Anicchang bhante.
Anybody want to translate that?
Impermanent, blessed one.
Okay, so then the Buddha asks next. Yam pan anicchang.
Yam pan anicchang.
Dukkang va tang.
Dukkang va tang.
Sukkang va.
Sukkang va.
Okay, now, what does this word pananichang mean? Has anybody ever seen that word before?
Pananichang?
Right. It's, we call this a sandhi. That means a joining together of pana, P-A-N-A, plus anichang. So when the two A's, when the two A's come together, then they join. It's like when you put two water drops, you have them very close together. There's a kind of magnetic attraction between the two drops, and so they merge into one. So here the two A's come together and become a long A. So this is, and then yang goes with anichang. So this means what is it's that which is impermanent. The pana is just we call it a connective. But that which is impermanent.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, let me just complete something. Then the yang joins with, in the next clause, that goes with tongue. So that which is, what is impermanent, that which is impermanent, that dukkangva, is it suffering or happiness? Is it painful or pleasant? Okay, who was asking, Venerable Satchananda?
Yes, Bante.
Okay.
Bante, long A and camp A, is it the same?
Long A?
And the camp A.
The camp.
I mean, they're like...
Oh, I see. Okay. I see. They're using that, like a little roof.
Yeah.
Oh, this is depends on the style of the editors. Usually, I think in the published edition of the Pali, I think the Pali Text Society uses the rooftop that little rooftop symbol. The little rooftop symbol means that there's a sandhi, a joining together of vowels, whereas the simple long A with the bar on top means that in the original it's a long A.
It's not same, right?
Yeah, there's a difference. They're pronounced the same. But with the little rooftop, it means two letters are joining together to form a long vowel. Whereas the simple bar means the original letter is a long vowel. Okay, so the question here is, but whatever is impermanent, is that suffering or happiness? Or is that, you could say, a basis of suffering or a basis of happiness? That's what's implied. Okay, then the monks say, dukkhaṃ bhante.
Dukkhaṃ bhante.
Okay, so that is suffering. So it's just a simple one-word answer. Okay, now it gets a little more complex. Yampan anicchaṃ.
Yampan anicchaṃ.
Dukkhaṃ viparinama dhammaṃ.
Dukkhaṃ viparinama dhammaṃ.
Kalaṃ nu.
Kalaṃ nu.
Taṃ samanupasitum.
Tang samanupasitum.
I'll repeat that. Tang samanupasitum.
Tang samanupasitum.
Etang mama.
Etang mama.
Eso hamasmi.
Eso hamasmi.
Eso me ata.
Eso me ata.
Okay, so now the Buddha is asking. Again, the panna, it's the connective, but, or now, yang anicchaṃ, whatever is impermanent, dukkhaṃ, then suffering, and then we have this expression, it's a compound, viparinamadhammaṃ, which means of the nature to change. Now, this word dhamma at the end of a compound takes on a different meaning from dhamma as Buddha's teaching or dhamma as a mental state. Here, dhamma at the end of a compound means something like having the nature of. I think in Chinese this would be like xing. Mm. Is that right? So having the nature of change, or the nature to change. So that which is impermanent, suffering of a nature to change. So it's speaking about something which is described with three qualities. First, it's impermanent, then it's connected with suffering, and then it's of a nature to change. Actually, having a nature to change, it's almost a synonym for anicca. But sometimes the Buddha will use several terms to suggest the same idea. I don't agree with the note so much. Okay. Here he says, Kalaṃ nu.
Kalaṃ.
No, you read it already. Didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Kalaṃ, this word Kalaṃ, has several meanings. In the last passage, we had Kalo si Bhante Nagasena. There it means you are clever, the Venerable Nagasena. But another meaning of kalang is something like proper or correct. The note says, is it smart? But I think it's better to take kalang in certain passages to mean something more like, is it proper or correct? And here it goes with the infinitive, just like in an English translation, is it, and the word samanupasitung means to regard. You could see pasitung. We've come across the verb pasiti before, to see. So this is the same verb, pasiti, to see, except it has two prefixes. So in translation, it's like to regard, to consider. Su wei, maybe. The Chinese? Su. Is it su wei, to consider?
Su wei.
Su wei.
Su wei.
If I remember correctly, last time somebody translated as to perceive.
Well, yeah, it could also you could say perceive, to regard, to consider. Or even xiang maybe would work.
Xiang.
Xiang.
To think of, yeah.
Su wei.
What do you think? To consider, to regard, the Chinese? What would you use in ordinary Chinese? Xiang. Xiang would be okay. Okay. Yeah. So you could say to think of it, but it's based on the verb originally meaning to see. Or even guan could work. One,
but to me, it carries a even deeper meaning of just to think.
Excuse me.
Because I think it carries to my understanding, it carries a deeper meaning than just barely to think. To think
It's more because like a way of regarding things. Yeah. Okay. So, but grammatically, it's kalang, kalang nu, and the nu gives the flavor of the question. So is it proper to regard that? And then what comes next is the way of regarding it. In English we would say to regard thus. But in Pali you don't need the word for thus. So is it possible to regard that thus? Etang mama. Etang is this, and mama is mine. And then the verb is implied. You don't need it. So this is mine. Then we have aso hum asmi. This I am. And you see, aso is this, then hamasmi, we divide it. Hum is just the short for ahang. Ahang is I, and asmi is M, I am. So this I am, and because I, well, this is a little patriarchal, but the I in general is taken to be, sorry, a masculine. So the pronoun becomes masculine, aso. But maybe if it's a woman or a bhikkhuni who's reflecting, then she'll think, asa hamasmi. less I am, using the feminine pronoun. So this I am, and then we have the third one is eso me ata. So eso is this, then me means mine, and ata is self. This is referring to the, basically to the Indian idea of some kind of permanent metaphysical self. Okay, so let's put it all together. Okay, so the monks say it's suffering, Bhante. Then the Buddha says, but that which is impermanent suffering of a nature to change, is it proper to regard that thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Any questions about this?
Yeah, Vante, I have the question here. Eso hamasmi.
Yeah.
I'm not clear, but could you explain again, Vante?
Eso hamasmi.
Yeah.
Okay. Eso means this, and it's referring to whatever here is impermanent, suffering, subject to change. So this, then hamasmi, this is just the combination of two words, ahang, which means I. And now when the aso ends in an O and it meets ahang, the sound O is stronger than uh. And so to make it easier to speak, the uh from ahang drops off. And so we just join them. Asohang. And then we join the hung with asmi. So it becomes hamasmi. So it's actually three words. Aso plus ahang, I, plus asmi, M. This, I, M.
Thank you.
Got it?
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the second and the third? This I am, this is myself. I'm not clear on that.
An interesting question. It seems to me that, and this is just conjecture, because it's not, in the suttas we don't find an explanation of the difference between these two, but it seems to me that the thought, this I am, is the way the thought of identification with any of the five aggregates might occur, just sort of naturally or spontaneously to an ordinary person. But then, when the person starts to reflect intellectually or philosophically, what is my real self? Then they come to the conclusion, eso me ata, this is myself. Particularly in India, in the Buddha's time, there was so many philosophical theories appearing about what is the nature of the self, what is the true identity of the self. So that's my sort of conjecture about the difference.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is then the Buddha is asking this as a question, and then the monks say, no he tang bante.
No he tang bante.
So the no here is just somewhat emphatic way of saying no. It just means no, or something like, and then the hey tongue, this is a combination of he, H-I, plus a tongue. And the he is just a little bit emphatic. And a tongue is this. And so to translate this, you might translate it as no indeed, Bhante, or certainly not, Bhante. Okay, then the rest of the passage is just repeating the same thing with regard to the other aggregates. We'll read through it just so that you get the tongue accustomed to speaking the name of the, to pronouncing the names of the other aggregates. But the explanation is the same. And then the pay, you see the pay here. Did we come across this already? Yeah, the pay is, just means like et cetera in English. It just indicates repetition. So Vedana pay.
Vedana pay.
Oh, the sanya should have a long A. I think that's a misprint. Sanya pay.
Sanya pay.
Sankara pay.
Sankara pay.
Vinyanang.
Vinyanang.
Nichangva.
Nichangva anichangva.
Anichang Bhante.
Anichang Bhante.
Yampan Anichang.
Yampan Anichang.
Dukang Vatang Sukang Va.
Dukang Vatang Sukang Va.
Dukang Bhante.
Dukang Bhante.
Yampan Anichang.
Yampan Anichang.
Dukang.
Dukang.
Viparinamadamang.
Viparinamadamang.
Kalang Nutang.
Samanupasitung.
Etang mama.
Etang mama.
Eso hamasmi.
Eso hamasmi.
Eso me ata.
Eso me ata.
And then the answer comes, no he tang bante.
No he tang bante.
And that's it. Let's take a little break.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So, for Vedana, would you have said Vedana nichava anichava?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. The other words would have to be, would have to follow the gender of the subject. So, in the case of Vedana, it would be, okay, tanking manyata bhikave, Vedana nichava anichava. Then they would answer anicca bhante, but then I think when you come to to the next question, because it's a generalization, then it's no longer referring
to
specifically to Vedana, but it's just a generalization. So then it comes as the neuter, young. Okay, sanya would also follow the same. Then sankara. So it ends in the long A, but it's because it's a masculine plural. But it would be Tung King Manyata Bhikkhave Sankara Nichava Anichava, then Anicca Bhante. But then again, it would have Yampan Anichang. And then Vinyanang is like Rupang, neuter singular. Okay, let's take a break and then we'll see what to do next. I need the break, actually.